should be full.
Amen.
Amen. If you have your Bibles today, and I'm not preaching out of a songbook, I need to change some things up here. Brother Joey, I'm still holding my offering in my hand, and I forgot it was there. If you would put that over there. Didn't realize I was holding the mic all in the same hand, and I didn't realize it till I went to let go of it. If you have your Bibles, we are going to the book of Isaiah today. I will reiterate, it is such an honor and a treat to have our guests with us today. Thank you very much. And Brother Josh, been here for several weeks now, and I am so proud of this young man, and I'm making his acquaintance. We've been here for a long time. I met him one time in the parking lot. He picking up Maddie, or they were talking to Mom. That was the only time I ever got to meet him. We was here for over 2 years, and now he's come several services in a row, and I'm proud of him and glad to call him my friend. But Isaiah chapter number 21 is where we are going. If you could stand for the reading of the Word of God, I'm going to read a few verses, then I'm going to let you be seated, and I'm going to be reading a few more after that. I feel very confident in what I'm going to preach today. God has given me something for the church today. How many is glad that God still speaks to the church? It's not something that we just get up on a Sunday and say, okay, I'm going to go get my prepared lesson out of a book and we'll just do our routine. But when a man of God prays and fasts and looks to God, and he speaks something that's seasonal, it's for the hour, I believe it hits its mark every single time. Isaiah chapter number 21, verse number 1 says, "The burden of the desert of the sea, as whirlwind is in the south passed through, so it cometh from the desert, from a terrible land." Now, this is speaking prophetically, not in our days, but in the biblical days of the Babylon was about to fall, and God was beginning to show this to the man of God. And they were under the Babylon rule at that time. And it says, "A grievous vision is declared unto me. The treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Medea. All the sighing thereof have I made to cease. Therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold upon me as the pangs of a woman that travaileth. I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. My heart panted, fearful, affrighted me. The night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me. Prepare the table. Watch in the watchtower. Eat, drink, arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Go, set a watchman. Let him declare what he seeth. For he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, and a chariot of asses, and a chariot of camels. And he hearkened diligently with much heat, and he cried, A lion! My Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights. And behold, here cometh the chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken unto the ground. Oh, my threshing, the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. The burden of Duma, he calleth to me out of Seir. Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? And the watchman said, The morning cometh, and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. And the burden upon Arabia and the forest and of Arabia shall ye lodge, O ye traveling companies of Dedim. The inhabitants of the land of Timah brought water to him that was thirsty. They prevented with their bread him that fled. For they fled from the sword and from the drawn swords and from the bent bows and from the grievous war. For thus saith the Lord, said unto me, Within a year, according to the years of the hireling, and the glory of Kedar shall fall. The residue of the number of Checker, the mighty men of the children of Kedar, shall be diminished, for the Lord God of Israel hath spoken it. I'm going to preach just for a little while on this simple topic. Watchmen, what of the night? I know that's a very unusual title, but watchmen, what of the night? And that is a question. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I love you, and I thank you for one more chance to stand in this pulpit and to break the bread of life to a group of believers that are gathered here today that are hungry. They need something from you, God. They didn't come here just because they were bored on a Sunday afternoon and didn't have anything else to do. But they got dressed up, and they walked into your house and said, God, I need something from you. God, I pray that I could deliver that today, that could help them and strengthen them. In Jesus' name we pray. You may be seated. Amen. I am typically a preacher of signs of the times, not in biblical things, but I like to relevate things that are going on today with biblical things. And in today's society, we are living in a very self-willed society, a very strong mentally, very not physically strong, but mentally strong. We like to think that we are in control of everything, even to the point that we like to think that we control everything in our lives. We are human characters or natures that we like to be in control. That's not unusual of a society, but in today's society, I'm speaking a little bit deeper. There was a day when many of you growing up and some of our elders in this place today that would say, if some of the children that you watch talking to their parents would have talked to you that way, you wouldn't ask nobody. You wouldn't have taken a look to see if there was a camera around, but there would have been a big, quick, swift swat to the bottom, and that little child would have said, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. But today's society is much different. Today's society, we have gotten to a point where we have raised a generation that's very self-willed. It's very on point. It's very combative, if you will. It likes to get what it wants. They've lost respect for authority. They've lost respect for parents. No respect for teachers. And I'm concerned about this generation that is now rioting in the streets in our colleges. They're rioting in the streets in our cities. And they're trying to get things without ever having to work for them. It's a very self-willed society that says, I deserve it. And it's gotten away from the fact that you got to get up in the morning. You got to go out there and get it. You got to work for everything you get. And the harder you work, the more you can achieve in life. And it's no different in the societal realm, but I'm afraid today that that has eased its way into the church. In the church, we want to be a type of church that we want to come on Sunday, feed off what the preacher throws at us, and hope it's enough to sustain us. But we really don't want to put the work and the effort to dig out salvation for ourselves, because that requires something to happen on Monday and something to happen on Tuesday, something to happen on Wednesday. And I might have to change away the way I think. I might have to change around my schedule. And little by little, we slowly start to think that the religion and my relationship with God really only happens on Sunday morning. Our society today has become a once-a-week, hour-long, and that's if you're lucky, type of church world. I'm concerned with that, because very rarely in today's society do you see the parents instilling godly values in their children. And I don't necessarily blame the parents. And I know that sounds funny as a preacher. Why would you not blame the parents? Aren't they ultimately responsible? They are, but however, those parents are getting guidance from somewhere and something. And I think it's a very big danger when churches begin to drop the ball and we start having less church instead of more church. You start having less Sunday school instead of more Sunday school. We now start to entertain the children with games and videos instead of Bible lessons and sitting those children down and explaining to them why the importance of loving God. And we start doing other things of we color a picture or we make a craft. Those are all good things, and I'm not against those things. But sometimes you've got to look that little child in the eye and say, honey, you've got to understand there is a heaven and there is a hell, and there is a God that loves you more than you love yourself. And there's going to come a point in time you're going to come in contact with that God. And it shouldn't be just coming to Sunday school and going through the motions and entertaining and have a godly daycare on Sunday morning. I know this is bad. I wish our Sunday school teachers could be out here today because they ought to hear this message. But the reality is we've lost focus in a lot of churches. And I'm not just picking on Pentecostal. I'm talking about churches in general. Across the board, we've lost the mark of what church is really for. It's become a social gathering instead of a God moment. We put so much, and I'm thankful for the music that we have with the keyboard and the organ, drums and bass. We are so blessed to be a home missions church and have the music that we have. We are so blessed. I hope you recognize how blessed we really are. But Brother Joey, good singing ain't going to get you to heaven. You can't sing your way to heaven. May I go a little further? You can't just dance your way to heaven. You can't lay on a pew and cry your way to heaven. The only way you're going to get to heaven, son, is when you get up in the morning, you purpose in your heart that no matter what happens today, I'm going to walk with God. And today is going to be a new day. It's going to be a different day. And me and God are going to accomplish something. And you know what happens the next morning? You get up with the same purpose in your heart, Brother Joy. And it doesn't matter what the devil throws at me, but today I'm going to walk with God. And you start to get a pattern of walking with God day in and day out. And nothing can deter you. Nothing can stop you. Isn't it interesting that Enoch was not? Why? Because he walked with God. We can know that God exists. We can say we go to church on Sunday. We can even say there was a day I went down and I was baptized. But the question is, when you get to the pearly gates and you stand before God, Brother Josh, all I want to know is, he going to know you? Is he going to know me? Is he going to know my name when I walk up to that point in time in the future? Brother Donnie, I may not stand before him. I may not be vanished up out of a pulpit in a glorious halo as I'm preaching a powerful message. I may die and never wake up the next morning. And just because I preach the gospel doesn't mean he knows me. The Bible says there will be many that will say, have I not cast out devils in your name? Haven't I done all these wonderful things? And how did I do them? I did them under your name. And he's still going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. You say, but preacher, how can it be that someone can cast a devil out of someone? How can it be that you lay hands on the sick and someone get healed and God say, I never knew you? One simple, if you want the pastor's theology on that, is God will honor his name. When you call on the name of Jesus, there is power, Sister Carissa, that is unleashed when you breathe the name of Jesus Christ. There is power that begins to pierce the atmosphere, that begins to penetrate the spirit world, and it begins to move things, and things begin to happen spiritually in the world when you usher the name of Jesus into the situation, things begin to happen. That does not necessarily mean that my feet are backing up what he's doing. And part of the reason I think our society slipped into what it is because we have refused to hear the beckoning that's coming from a pulpit that's saying there is a better way and there's danger lying ahead and you better get a hold of what's going on. And I believe there's a danger when pulpits become silent and they no longer preach the truth. And it's just a big happy agape love that everybody's one big family and we're all going to heaven and you can live however you want to live. Do whatever you want to do and everybody's going to heaven. I beg to differ. I would love to preach that message and build a big church. But my Bible does not bear that out. The Bible says narrow is the way. And those that are going to go there, they got to be looking if they're going to find it. And it takes something that I got to dig down into my spirit. I got to dig into the Word of God, and I've got to say, God, I've got to know you. In this particular instance, I don't know if some of you realize it, but the Bible has chosen from the beginning of time, God chose to use a man of God to speak to his people. But we are in a society today that we feel we can live for God, but not listen to a preacher. Now I'm going to get in right in where we live now. If I could walk in amongst us, I'm human too. But if this society could ever recognize the reality of what they're the thing that they're doing by trying to say I'm a Christian and I walk with God and me and God have our own little thing worked out, they're missing a valuable element that God has put in place over them to help them in the process of making it to heaven. You will not find in your Bible where God ever circumvented the man of God and came directly to the people. It's not biblical. And I know that's a popular message out there today. But you will not find in the Bible where God just steps out of his patterns biblically and says, okay, I know in the Old Testament I used Moses. I know in the Old Testament I used Abraham. I know in the Old Testament I used Jacob. And I used all of the great prophets and people of the Old Testament. Now in the New Testament, I'm just going to erase all of that. No, he didn't. He said, you're going to be saved through the foolishness of preaching. And he said, give honor to those that are watching for your souls. And you say, preacher, are you preaching just so you can get some attaboys to know today? No, I'm preaching to get you to realize how valuable that voice is in your life. That if you can somehow grab hold of the tool that God has put in your life, that it is watching for your soul. It is protecting your children. It is speaking something into your life that you can't see the dangers that are lurking on the outside that's trying to destroy your soul. There's something that's very interesting about a watchman. This is not just biblical, but it's even in our military. It's even in our jails. It's in our every single avenue that there is a danger. They place a watchman. In the Old Testament, they would have the individuals that would go in and they would scout the land. And they would watch and they would see. The Bible says in the Old Testament that Moses, when they would go into battle and things were being done, and there was even times that the man of God would sit up at a higher elevation, be able to see the battle and be there. And there was times that they would even hold the man of God's arms up to make sure that the battle was won. But he had an oversight of what was actually happening in the Bible, in the battle, so that he knew that they didn't make mistakes because he had the mind of God. In the military, especially in the Vietnam War, where it was hand-to-hand combat, It was a very bloody, brutal battles that would happen in the middle of rainforest and rough country and swamps and rivers, and they would be in there in close quarters to where you couldn't even see just a short distance from you. One of our close friends was a Vietnam veteran, and he likes to sit and sometimes talk to. He can't see anymore because of the Agent Orange that he was exposed to in. Some of you from the Walkerton Church know Brother Sandy. But I would sit in his living room and he would tell me some of the stories of the things that would happen in those days. And actually, if thunder would go off or there was loud booms, it startles him to this day because of everything that was going on. But he said they would put watchmen out and they would take turns and sleeping, and it was somebody's responsibility to sit on the hill or sit up in the tree or sit up on a higher elevation so that they could watch to make sure that everyone else was safe. That watchman, Brother Donnie's responsibility was to make sure that you were watching so that he could spend a little time and rest and sleep and bring strength to his body so that he could get up and fight the next day. Now you may be tired tomorrow, but the rest of the army is able to go into battle. But it is very important to understand we don't look at our preacher as that anymore. We want our preacher to be a superhero. We want our preacher to go fight the devil for us. But the Bible terms the man of God in your life as a watchman on the wall, as someone that could see the danger. Brother Donnie, you standing alone on that hill, and there's an army coming at the rest of the platoon. May I ask, with one little gun, how much damage are you really going to be able to do to the battle that's coming at you? You might get one, but they're going to get you, and the battle's going to be over pretty quick. Understanding that as a pastor, I cannot come and fight every devil that fights against every single one of you. But what I do on Sunday afternoon or on Wednesday night is get up and proclaim the enemy's angles and the way the enemy is trying to get into your life and the things that you can do to avoid the enemy. And I can sound the alarm, but somebody's got to wake up, pick up their weapons, and go out and take on the enemy before the enemy overtakes them. And a watchman does you no good if they stand up there and they bounce up and down and say, "They're coming, they're coming, they're coming." And we leisurely lay asleep and we never listen to the man of God in our life. I contend that the enemy is going to overtake you in very short order. But there must be a response when there's a call. And when the call comes, there's got to be someone that gets up and say, "I will not be overtaken." Information is only as good as what you do with it. I can preach to us on Sunday about the dangers of the media and the garbage that's coming into the children's minds in today's world of blood and guts and killing and shooting and all of that stuff. And if you track back the history of it, I can preach it every week and tell you that it's demoralizing, it's destroying the minds of our young people today when they sit for hours playing video games and watching blood spatter and the things that are happening. It's destroying us. But I can't go out and fight Hollywood. I can't come into your home and turn off a computer screen and be able to stop those things. At some point, you've got to get up and say, "Not on my watch is the devil going to come in and destroy my child, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to do something about it, and I'm going to heed the call of what God is doing." Many of you probably don't realize what it is a pastor goes through when someone misses one service. Just one. You say, "Seriously, Pastor? Are you that paranoid?" No. Average goes, you miss one, still salvageable. Miss two, sketchy. Miss three, you're probably gone. You say, "What are you talking about, preacher?" That's a specific sign that the enemy has gotten between the watchman and the soldier. And it's going to take a miraculous effort of God to retrieve that person back to the platoon again. You say, is it that critical that I actually come and hear preaching that often? Well, my question is, how much do you want to know about the enemy? Do you want to go into battle with one bullet and hoping he's not there? Or do you want to go into battle with a full arsenal of God and say, devil, I'm coming and you ain't going to do anything to stop me because I already know your plan. I already know how you're going to attack. I already know what you're going to do, and I'm going to proceed forward because I've already heard from God on this situation. But the watchman must be vigilant. In our reading today, when he called for a watchman, notice the panic of the watchman. The watchman pleaded the case. He said, I'm staying up all night. I've been watching all day. It's night and day process. I don't get any sleep. But you must understand, when this preacher comes to the pulpit, it's not just because I've had too much pizza the night before. It's not just because I've had a bad week and now I'm going to come in and charge in and fight the devil with a stick. But the reality is, it comes while you're laying in bed trying to get a little sleep so you can get up and fight another day. This preacher has been in a chair. He's been in writing. He's been praying. He's been thinking about you. And he's been putting you before God. And there's something between me and you. While you are resting during the week, that is my time to be watching and praying and seeking the counsel of God and watching for your family. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I believe that as a pastor, I know I say this often, I've got to stay up on what's going on around this world. Why? Because there are things that are coming down the chute that's going to affect every single one of you and your families, and how you raise your families, and what you do, and where you find a church, and what you do with church, and what you do with God, and what you do with your life. And there are some things that I need to be aware of at all times. And you know what that does? That allows you to get up and go to work and do all the things that you have to do and trust that God's looking out for you. But if you're not here to hear the voice, you miss the call. You miss the point when God began to give an alarm, Sister Carissa, and said the devil is lurking, but you weren't here to hear the call that God had given you. And we decide to go grocery shopping and go to Walmart instead of coming to church on Sunday because we've been too busy. I contend we're too busy, because that may have been the day that God sounded the alarm of the attack and the angle the enemy was putting on your child. It may cost them their eternal salvation that could have been avoided. So I ask this question today, watchman. What about the night? The night is the dark times when we're trying to get a little peace and we lay our head on a pillow at night and we can't find any rest. There's something about, I'll even contend this, those of you that are here today, you'll go home tonight. I'll 100% guarantee you, you'll rest a little better tonight knowing you went to the house of God. It's those night times that matter. The enemy is smart. Brother Donnie, the enemy is not going to come in and have somebody in the middle of church service walk through that door with drugs that you used to do and come in and try to hand them to you. Devil, that would be an easy battle. We all say, yeah, I can do this. Everybody's watching. I can do this. You see, I contend the giant wasn't that big a deal for David. I believe the bear and the lion were much harder. Nobody was watching. He had a choice. He could have run and left the flock or trust God with no help. The giants in front of him, a whole army behind him. Everybody's watching. You're probably going to muster up the energy to go out and whoop the giant. But his biggest battle was when he got back home some years later and no one else is around. And there happened to be a half-clothed lady and no one else around. What about the night? What about the time when you don't have the church around? Brother Josh, to give you strength when you get weak. What about the times that there isn't Christian music playing? There ain't no saints within 100 miles. And you're weak. That's where the watchman comes in. Because if you'll think back, there was probably a warning that says, the day's going to come. You're going to need this word from God. And you're going to have to draw off this sounding alarm. And you're going to get a text, Brother Rodney, or maybe a phone call. Or God's going to knock on your door in some form or fashion and say, hey, there's a better way. There's an escape route. Because with every temptation, He also provides a way of escape. We as ourselves and individuals have trouble sometimes processing and then implementing what God gives us. Brother Joy, you can come to church every week and I can preach my guts out to you and speak things into your life. God could have a calling on your life. But the watchman can't wake you up in the morning. He can't get you dressed because there's a whole army that he's got to make sure. The alarm was sounded, but it's up to you to lace up your boots, put on your trousers, strap on your shirt, sharpen the sword, make sure there's bullets in the gun. And go out and fight the devil. Son, when you're in the business world someday, pastor's not always going to be there when you write the deal. And it's going to be up to you whether it's a godly deal or not. What about the night? That's the times that it matters the most. You see, the valley of decision isn't usually the valley when everyone's watching. The real valley of decision is when you're all by yourself. There's no amenners, no choirs are singing. And you got to make the choice. Go, stop, delay. What am I going to do at this point? As we all stand, I'm coming to a close. Say, preacher, what are you really trying to tell us today? We understand that we need somebody to watching out for our souls, and God gave us that and all of that stuff. All I'm saying is very simply this. I, as a pastor, can preach about a watery grave of baptism and the atonement that's necessary to give you mercy and grace in your life and the necessity of being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And I can sound the alarm, but it's up to you to say, I need to be buried. It's up to you to get up one morning and say, God, I can do this. I don't know how. It don't make sense. I don't understand everything about it. But I went to church one night and my heart wasn't right. And something got a hold of me. I can stand up here on a Sunday, Brother Joey, and preach. I how important an altar is in your life. Finding a place with God. Getting deeper into His presence. The place that you can find real strength. It's not shallow anymore, but you can find strength for your soul. The Bible says it's like rivers of living water begins to flow. And I can preach about how important it is to have the Holy Ghost inside of you. When the devil comes at you like a raging lion, it's that spirit that quickens inside of you. It's the presence of God that gives you the intuition of when to swing that sword, when to stop. When to slice it with conviction and power. When to hold back and give grace and mercy. But sounding an alarm only does any good if you're willing to do something with it. I don't want to be heavy today, but I do want to get my point across. When I step in this pulpit on Wednesday and on Sunday, eternal things are coming to pass in your life. My voice is not the voice of Brent Smith. It's the voice God has given you to illuminate the enemy's tricks. You say, are you that arrogant, Pastor, that you could really be the voice of God? No, it's not my choice. It's God's choice. And I may not be the greatest preacher in the world, but I've got enough faith in God that if He can use a mule, He can use this old boy. And I ran from the calling of God in my life. There was a day sitting in Indiana district camp meeting that God put me and my wife on our face. God said, you're running from me. I was making good money, Brother Josh. I had other incentives and motives in life. All the permits were there to start my own company. I didn't need to work for anybody else. God said, that's not my will. Brother Joy, that day would have never come had I not heeded the calls of a watchman in my life. I'd be chasing money today, Brother Josh. I'd be chasing other things and not the heart of God. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to ask you today. I happen to be the watchman that God has given you here today as a voice into your life. And I don't take that lightly. But I want to ask you, what about the night? What's it like in your home? What's it like in your mind when you're not at church? I've come here to give you a voice that says there's a better way, and God is calling you to a new level. If you've never been washed in a watery grave of baptism in Jesus' name, I ask you, why not today? If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I ask you, why would you not want the presence of God fighting the devil with you, walking through the garden alone with you? So I wonder today, I know some of you can't, and our elders I don't expect, but if we could find a place to pray, whether it be at your seat, whether it be around these altars. I'm not a high pressure preacher, but I want to ask you, just all of us, can we just find a place to pray for a few minutes? Even if you just want to sit in your seat, put your head on your hands in front of you, just can we just pray just for a few moments? It says, God, I don't know what you're trying to do in my life, and I may not understand it all, God, but something the preacher said today that's kind of quicked in my mind and my spirit.
Just to hear you say that.
God, I know I don't have everything right. All my ducks ain't in an order, and I ain't done everything you told me to do in my life, God, but today is different. I don't understand it, God, but I want you. And I may have avoided you in the past. I may have pushed you away, God, but today's different. All I'm asking for, God, is mercy and grace. I've tried it my way, God. I've ended up broken. I've ended up in places that I didn't intend to be, God. And I can honestly say, God, I did it my way, but my way wasn't right, God. And I know this sounds awkward, God, for me choosing my own way, but for me to come back here today now, hear a preacher preach, and expect you to come down to me seems very odd, but God, I have nowhere else to turn. I have nowhere else to go, God, and I'm asking you one more time. I need your mercy, God. I need your grace.